Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it very much. So I have a message today that has been a challenge to me, and I'm hoping, even though we know some of these things, that it will be a challenge to you. First, I just want to tell you that some of these things that we know need to be awakened again, because we're all in a place where there are parts of us that have not really and truly identified what has happened for us with the Lord. We know the words, and we know how it sounds, and we've heard it over and over, but there is something different today. And for me, I'm seeing that the pastors that are speaking on television now are truly amazing, and some of what they're saying is so rich. And you may hear something and only one thing pops out, or you might hear a series. And for me, that's what's been happening. I've been looking at a book called The Awe of God by John Bevere. And he's talking about the fear of God and how we don't seem to have it like we should. And I got to thinking about that, and I understood what he was saying, but he made some very clear points. And for me, it was important to recognize that I've been asleep in a lot of ways. And I have thought about these things, but I hadn't had the true regard for the fear of the Lord like we should. And when you think about it, God did not reveal everything to everyone all at once. We're spoiled because we have the New Testament, so we get it all backwards. But truly, the first thing that the Lord revealed himself to mankind with was the fear of the Lord. They were afraid to go to the mountain. They were afraid. They heard the sound of his voice, and it was terrifying. Even Moses was terrified. We've lost a lot of that. And yes, we do have a friend in Jesus, and we do have a Savior who loves us. But to the extent that I've been seeing is much different than where I've been for quite a long time, and I would say even more so than ever. And I wanted to give credit where credit's due, because I've heard some sayings that are very valid, and I think it's time for us to wake up. Because I heard a teaching, and it was just a snippet that came from Creflo Dollar. And he's on a subject called the infinite debt of love. And it's a series, I haven't heard it, and I'm so excited to hear what he has to say. But he did say this. He said, the most powerful thing that God has ever done is the transformation of man through thoughts that can take them out of darkness into light. And it's so amazing to me. He says every anointing under that, he calls it the power of the love of God for the transformation of man. And it's like, wow, I never thought of it like that. And so I didn't give us fill in the blanks today. I'm just looking at some of the points that seem to make a really powerful statement. But what touched me the most, and the reason I'm giving this now, is because when I heard the teaching by Creflo Dollar, which was just a short piece of what he was teaching, it occurred to me that the power of God and his love exploded on the cross. It exploded. He hid it for generations. He hid it from the devil. He hid it from the the other realms, where the devil was, where spirits are, whatever. He hid it. And no one could figure it out, and no one could understand it, but he had a plan from the beginning of the world, right? Before the earth was even created. But he hid it, and when it was finished, bam, that is what hit the cross that day. And that's the waker-upper for us. That is where we need to see the Lord himself. And then how did he do it? He could not walk like any other human man. He had to control his mind. He had to control his thoughts. He had to control how he was experiencing the evil that is around him. And that he had to follow the Lord. He had to obey every single minute. And God didn't deliver him out of. God didn't save him from. God didn't keep him protected. God didn't cover him. He was walking in God's love, even with the issues of the spirit of the world on him. And it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming to think. He never could think a thought that wasn't love. He could never speak a word that the Lord didn't tell him to say, because he couldn't open his mouth and tell what he wanted to tell. He could only tell what God said to tell. He could only say what God said. He could only do what God told him to do. He saw people everywhere sick, but he had to go and do what God told him to do that day. And he had one day at a time, and he took full advantage of it. He went quietly, early in the morning, every day to get his strength, to get the wisdom of God, to get the power of God, to get his walking orders for the day. What was he called to do that day? And when you slow it down and you begin to start thinking about these things, you're like, oh, how much have I taken my own way? How much have I ignored the things of God? How much have I not considered what God had for me to do that day? It's putting a lot of questions in my heart and my mind, you know, like, where am I and why? And what does God have for me this day? And what does God have for me the next day? And how is he cleaning me up? Because I'm recognizing it's not this outside man. I've done a lot of writing, but it's not the outside man that he's not worried if you've got a problem, he's not worried about the outside. I can keep my mouth shut and not say a wrong thing pretty easy, but the thinking of the wrong thing and the opinions and the reactions and the thoughts and the wandering mind and the what I hear and what I see and what I'm allowing into my life, those things I have not taken seriously. Yes, I am blessed to have a husband who has taken these more seriously than I have. And so for me, I let him turn on the TV. I let him pick the station. I let him roll the this or the that. And he is seriously tight about what he hears, what he sees. It's like, we're not watching that movie. We're not going there. We're not going to see this, whatever. And I'm like, great. I don't even have to think about it. I really don't. Because it's amazing what your eyes will see when you're passing through the channels, including some of the commercials. So we got a lot of bombardment all day long, right? I mean, it's just there. So some way we have to, the little song that the Gaithers wrote for the kids, you know, be careful little eyes what you see, careful little ears what you hear. It says the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful little eyes what you see. But the problem is, it's not the God up above. It's the Holy Spirit who lives in the believer. And he knows what you're saying. He knows what you're thinking. He knows how you're feeling. And he knows what God has for you. And I don't know. And I've come to a place where this shuts me up pretty quick. I can just say, all I know is Christ in me. I know Christ. He knows me, and I know nothing. Because that's what Paul said. I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And boy, it'll take me out of any kind of self-pity, self-consciousness, what I need, what I think, what I feel. So I'm just saying, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with the power, the explosive power that hit the cross and God's love and everything he planned for the ages was made manifest to us through his son Jesus. So we get another day and we get another chance and we get to fine tune it. And I put some things together here just to talk about it for a few minutes. This transformation of man comes through man knowing about the Lord Jesus himself. It's about the love. This kind of love solves every problem. This kind of love solves every argument. This kind of love solves every challenge that we can possibly face. And when we can't go anymore, we got that kind of love to bring us in close fellowship with him. And we want to take advantage of the fellowship because we don't know. First of all, we don't know how long we each personally have. But second of all, we don't know what's coming. And we don't know what the Lord would have us to say or do. Or where he'd have us to be living, or where he'd have us to speak up, and where he'd have us to say nothing. So we are being quickened today. We're being quickened to really hear the voice of the Lord within us and to take seriously what he is about. So for me, the message of the cross is taken on a whole new meaning because I saw, as I was listening to Creflo Dollar, I saw the explosion of love that hit the cross that day. It's the kind of love that exploded into resurrection life from the cross. Who could have had any idea except for the prophets who told it, predicted it, and even they didn't know what they were saying. They repeated words God gave them, but they didn't really get it. And here we are. We're here. It was a plan that was hidden. It's a mystery. The Bible called it a mystery. The mystery was Jesus. Jesus Christ, that's Jesus, the Messiah. That's the mystery of the ages because he demonstrated the love of God. He poured the love of God out. He lived the love for us as an example. We really are blessed amazingly above all we could ask or think. The hidden mystery of Jesus Christ. God purposed in Christ bringing unity to all things under Christ and his kingdom. That's God's will. In Christ Jesus, God's mystery was revealed to all who would believe. In John 14:9, it says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus, the perfect illustration of the power of love and honoring God. Some things that John Bevere said in his book, The Awe of God, was about obedience. And it brought to my attention that I wasn't following obedience in any way like what he's calling us to. John Bevere said that he obeyed immediately. If God said do it, he did it right then. Spit on the dirt and make a glue and put it on the guy's eye and tell him to go wash in the river. I mean, he did it. No matter how it looked, no matter how it felt, no matter what people thought, he heard from God and he kept his focus and he did what was told. Even if it didn't make any sense. Even where there didn't seem to be a personal benefit, where it even could have cost him his life, he obeyed it all the way to the cross. Even when it was painful, he made it all the way to completion. He is the one who said, it is finished. It is finished. The revelation of God's love for all mankind and the way back into his presence and into his kingdom forever came through an amazing plan of God. His plan of salvation through Jesus is Christ in you, the hope of glory. By his death and resurrection, we are made aware of God's love and eternal life. God demonstrated through the gift of his beloved Son the power of love and acceptance available to all who will obey and believe and receive. The power of love leads to righteousness, right standing with God, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit, obedience, grace, mercy, forgiveness, liberty, and eternal life with God. We don't get any of those without the power of the love of God that came through Jesus. People don't have it. We're looking at people today who don't have it. And we're walking around in a bubble because we live in the church. We love in the church. We obey in the church. We walk in the church and we leave in the church and we come back to the church. But there's a lot of people out there. And I know you've been talking about it a lot, Tim. But it's real. And we don't know how long we have, and we don't know how long they have. Jesus is the perfect example. The Bible said that perfect love casts out fear. We don't have perfect love, but we know who does have it, and he's in us, and we can have it if we'll just focus. He only said what he heard the Father say. He only did what he heard the Father do, saw what the Father did. He perfected love to mankind by all that he suffered. So we're not going to go through anything that Jesus has not already suffered and paid for and demonstrated and stayed the course. And Luke 22:42, it says, even though he knew he was going to the cross and he was in great challenge because our bodies in the human form are crying out for life. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. If there's any other way, but not my will, thy will be done. He didn't demonstrate deliverance. He didn't demonstrate making everything good for me or you, for himself or a comfort. He didn't demonstrate anything. He demonstrated the walk of trusting God no matter what he saw, no matter what he heard, no matter what other people said. He introduced the power of love from God to man. The power of love is the battery for all other anointings, healing, prophecy, tongues, miracles, blessings. That's a quote from Creflo Dollar. I'd love to say I knew that, but I just thought it was amazing. It's the battery. And you know, the word says, if you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal. So you can say the right things. You can do the right things. You can look the right way, and you can keep yourself, and you can impress other people, but the Lord knows. And if there's no love, it's not counted for anything. because love is eternal. Jesus demonstrated the power of love in his walk, in his talk, in his thinking, his humility, his reverence and obedience. With love, all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in him. He yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't question it, didn't change his mind, didn't go, well, what if, or maybe I could do it this way, or I think I know better, or whatever. No. In every situation, experiencing everything as a sacrifice for us, a substitution for us to bring us into the hope of glory. God demonstrated his plan of salvation through Jesus for all eternity. And if it's been known and displayed and expressed, and we pick it up piece by piece, inch by inch, but we keep going, and the more we suffer, the more we see Jesus, and the more we know that without him, we couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle any of the suffering. We couldn't handle any of the broken places. We couldn't handle any of the sin. We couldn't handle any of the thoughts or the experiences of our past or what's been done to us, but we know him. So our job is to just trust him, but it sounds simple and it isn't. Jesus trusted God all the way. He trusted God to raise him up again. He knew the scriptures. He had seen and studied all that the prophets were saying. His followers, his disciples understood the way of the cross all the way to their martyred death. They saw love. They watched suffering. They saw obedience. And they loved their lives not unto the death. And they looked to Jesus as the author and finisher of their faith. And when you think about it, Paul could never have been the person that he was, even though he knew the word better than anybody on the planet, probably. But his past was so wicked, and the hurt that he did to the people of God and the lives that were lost and the people whose homes were ripped apart. I had a little note in my Bible. I said, Paul was like a Hitler before he was turned around. And then I had to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Because you cleaned him up so beautifully. And if he looked back at what his past was, he could never have served God and obeyed God and listened to God. And it says that God told him everything he would suffer before he went. And he went anyway. God didn't make him go. He chose to go. He knew, you know, he didn't talk himself out of it. In Revelations 12:11, it says, they overcame him, the devil, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when they faced death. When we are born again, we have intimacy with the Father. He's there. He's open. His heart, his mind, his focus, his love, it's all there. That right relationship with the Father, we have forgiveness, we have love every day. We're never forsaken, never forsaken. Forsaken means just he turned his back. No, not on us, but he did on Jesus. He had to look away because Jesus took the sin. But we are never going to be forsaken, no matter what we do, what we say, how we act. And Jesus said for all of us, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus paid it all. He paid the price for us. We have a love that can never be paid. It's a debt of love. Only God. We have the power of love by the Holy Spirit given to us when we first believed. His supernatural power and love empowers us to love the unlovable and forgive the unforgivable and forget the past and move on and not let the memories take away what God has for you today. It's a hard walk, and it needs flushing every day, every day. God's miracle power came through the power of love. Jesus was feeding the multitudes, healing the sick, delivering from demons, walking on water, raising the dead. But he did everything in obedience to the Lord. And he did everything immediately and exactly according to God speaking to his heart. Today, we can repent. We can change our mind and start a new beginning with the new me every day because Christ in you really is the hope of glory. He really is the only hope of glory. Of serving God and loving God and demonstrating God. He's the only hope we have. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says that, but now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. He said, pursue love. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. No one is turned away from God for whatever thing they could possibly think to do. The power of God, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the mystery revealed through the power of love on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So how does God talk to us? How do we hear like Jesus heard? Well, we're going to have to separate ourselves. We're going to have to take time. You can't do this just because you read the Bible. If you read it 20 times, you couldn't do it. Because we need the leading of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. God talks to us through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We don't have to look to the sky and to heaven and go crying out. He's here. He's with us. He's in us. He lives in us. All he needs is a little space and time and attention and focus. The moment we invite Christ into our life, we are a new creature. We are not the same person. We have a nature that is from God, and it takes a long time for us to recognize it and to change it and to turn from it and to walk with it. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is Christ in me, the hope of glory. This Spirit of the Lord is in us. The Spirit of wisdom is in us. The spirit of understanding is in us. The spirit of counsel. Do we have to go get counseling and spend a bunch of money and talk to 20 different people? No, we can talk to God. And if he is the spirit of counsel and he has the spirit of might, he has the spirit of knowledge, and he has the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And for many of us, we haven't had that kind of fear. I've looked at how I address the Lord and how great it is to just go and be cheery and happy and listen to this and talk about that and read this and, oh, wow, this, my buddy, my friend, whatever. That's good. But Norm did a teaching that I made a copy of, and it describes what the Word says about who he is. his power, his majesty, how he looks. His train filled the temple, and his hair was white as snow, and the gold and the eyes like fire. I mean, we can't imagine the power that put people who knew him personally on their face before him. The terror of being in the presence of a perfect God is more than we can think. So it's good for me to go back, read the description, thank him for Jesus, and just start over again. And then, you know, two of the things that the devil loves for us is to be distracted. How can you hear when your head is full? I'm guilty. You're guilty. We are all guilty of the world being in us when we need to take a break. I put down a little checklist. This is really for me, but I'll just let you in on it. What's God saying to me about my habits, about my routines, about the way I'm thinking, about judging, about my opinions, about my attitudes? I gave you a good one. So the Lord has been showing me that Norman, being my husband, knows me better than anybody except the Lord. And so it would behoove me in my stubbornness if I might just hear what he has to say and consider that the Lord has told him something that I'm not listening to him about. I might have a stubborn streak. I think I have a number of them. But it just was, to me, it was revelation to think that Norm saying something to me in kindness and love, always anyway, maybe what he's saying makes sense. And so when I had to take medicine, he very gently said to me one day, I'm going on about all the side effects and this and that and this and every. The devil told me this morning, oh, you're going to talk today? You took your medicine. It's going to mess with your mind. You're not going to be able to say anything. And I said, good, because then the Holy Spirit can speak through me. I had the peace of God, but the fear was all over me for a split second. And so I got to thinking. Norm said to me, why don't you think about what the medicine might be doing to help you temporarily while you get your health back, instead of focusing on all the side effects that you're looking for. I'm like, oh, okay. you know, our backgrounds are different, but I've had so much teaching, and I had to do it the medical way. And so I'm still dealing with it, but what kindness to just point it out. Hey, why don't you just think about what it might do to help you? The one thing I'm not dealing with is social media. Even my little granddaughters tried to give me Instagram so I could see what they're doing. But when I got on there, I was so shocked because it was everybody's opinions and thoughts and people talking back and forth. So I don't know these people. I don't have any idea who they are. I'm not making a comment to the whole world. I don't have social media. A lot of people do. A lot of people are very hurt. A lot of people are comparing themselves to fantasies of other people. Doesn't make sense, but here we are. But one day he said to me, not long ago, what are you looking up on your phone? I'm like, oh, I used to do a whole lot of stuff on health, nutrition, what's the latest, what did they say about COVID, what did they do? I mean, I just had that going on all the time. Well, I finally got over that one, and I shut all those down. So he said, what are you looking up on the phone? I'm like, wow. I didn't think God was paying any attention when I was looking up. So I thought, I wonder what it would look like if somebody opened that up and saw all these things. I'm like, okay. Well, I saw a movie the other day. It had Clark Gable in it. It was Gone with the Wind. And so I said, I wonder whatever happened to Clark Gable. So I get on the phone. I'm looking at all of them. I'm filling my head full of junk. Do you know what? A week later, I couldn't tell you what happened to Clark Gable, even though I knew for a minute. Like, what? Like, am I filling my head with trivia? Do I need to know what happened to Clark Gable? And so, again, everything I'm putting in there that has no relationship to the Lord is it's just crowding out hearing from him. And then there's memories. There's pride. There's unforgiveness. I mean, it just goes on. And so you can stop it when you say, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And if I need to know, he'll tell me. And how simple is that? We need him. And this really is personal. Your time with the Lord, honoring and reverencing him, needs to be done daily and in quiet. I personally just have a real challenge when we do what we call soaking, and there's music and there's words, and I'm trying to hear the Lord, and all I hear is music and words. It could be good words, beautiful words. Songs are amazing that they're writing. I cannot hear God that way. So if that works for you, I bless you. But personally, I need quiet, undisturbed time. We have the power of God's love living in us to change our thoughts of man with the transforming message of the gospel. And the question is, will we use it? If it's the greatest miracle that can happen on this planet, if it's the greatest thing that God has ever done for mankind, that transforming of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did for us, the plan of God, will we use it? So I'm challenged. I'm not there. I have been brought up short, as we say. And I love what Pastor Dave always said, keep a short account with the Lord. So if you're feeling like, oh man, I'm really guilty, I can't handle this and this and that, look at me, I'm not doing right. No, just stop. Just stop. Just stop. Stop the chatter and ask for God to forgive you. Now we're back. Now we're back. Get a new start, a new faith, new beginning. So I have a prayer that I pray that will work in our hearts. And I pray for everyone here and who hear this, that you will get a revelation of the explosive power of love that hit the cross and took Jesus into resurrection life for every person. And it gives us a hope that we can be there with him as well. So let's pray, if you will. Father, forgive me and help me to value the miracle-working power of your love. Please give me a new start today. Help me to walk in the love of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit as a demonstration of who you really are. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for transformation that we have the ability to tell and demonstrate for others, whether it's just in word or in actions, in love, forgiveness, that we give something from God to others. In Jesus' name, amen.